إن الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه. بعد، my brothers and sisters, in in life, in business, including in deen, we have seem to have been schooled in a way where we think in terms of results, what was achieved, what did I gain, what was achieved, what was successful, what was not successful. Now, there is nothing wrong with that. That is a good way of looking at life, to measure results. But I propose to you another way where you measure a different kind of results. I'm not contrasting measuring results with not measuring results. I'm talking about what results will you measure. When you look at any work and you look at any project, and you say the result is what happens at the end of the project, what was it supposed to achieve? Is there another alternative to that? And why is that alternative even required? The reason I'm saying this is because many times you find, especially the downside of people with vision and with the ability to see beyond the nose, is the fact that what you conceptualize as a goal may turn out to be too big for you to achieve. So, visioning something and mobilizing the resources and the whatever is required to accomplish that, sometimes there is a problem between these two. So, not everyone who can visionize something is somebody who can actually implement it. This is not we are not saying that therefore we should not have a vision. No, but, and that's why also you require the help of other people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give everything to one person. You know, vision, vision plus resource plus knowledge plus this, that. Allah did not give it. Allah gave different things to different people so that everybody benefits. One person has a vision, another person supports that vision with wealth, and somebody supports it with knowledge and so on and so forth. Somebody supports it with their own personal effort. Eventually it succeeds. But the point I am making is that what do you therefore measure? Now, one of the things about this issue of vision, if you have a big vision, then you try, you work very hard, and after some time, maybe quite a long time also, maybe many years, you might end up getting discouraged and you might end up losing hope and giving up. You say, oh, this is not doable, can't be done. Today we hear a lot of such negative comments with regard to the Muslim Ummah. People say, Sahab, ye toh murda khawm hai, Sahab. These are all dead people, you know, and so on and so forth. And I'm not saying that the people saying that are, they are crazy. I mean, they have a reason for saying that. And sometimes those reasons seem to be quite significant. But the point is that, therefore, what must we do? If in fact this is a murda qaum, I don't believe that. But I'm saying, even if you say that, so what to do? Should we also just lie down and die? For example, yesterday we were talking about, in one group, talking about India and the corruption and so on. We say, oh, we are beyond hope. So what shall we do? Everybody just lie down and die or something? What? So should we stop working against corruption? Because there is no point. Now, what is the point? So this is the result of this kind of thinking, which is you are looking at a goal. Alhamdulillah, goal is good, it's a big goal, should be achieved. But if you look at only that goal and you say that success means to achieve that goal, then the chances are that you might end up simply getting discouraged and losing hope and not even making the effort because you feel it is not worth it. Right? What is the alternative? The alternative, when you look at the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the finest example that I can think of from the seerah is the trip of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his journey to the city of Taif. There were two big meaning in terms of significance, especially political significance. There were two big tribes who were honored and who were considered to be politically very significant, who were seen to be as the leaders of the Arabs of the Hijaz. One was the Quraysh of Makkah and the other one was the Banu Saqif of Taif. There were other tribes who were bigger in number. The Abu Hanifa from Banu Hanifa from Najd, they were much bigger in number, the various, you know, Hawazim and so on. So there were tribes which were much bigger in number. The Quraysh and the Banu Saqif were not very numerous, but they were considered to be very significant. Both of them, because of the presence of the two houses of, they had a place of worship. One was the Kaaba in Makkah, the other one was a temple in Taif. And so these people were considered to be the priests of these two places of worship. So they were respected and so on and so on. Now, when Rasulullah was preaching Islam, when he brought Islam, when he announced Islam in Makkah, and obviously we know all this, the kind of opposition that he suffered. And so there was no material and visible success to the mission from any measurement point of view. So he decided to go to the Banu Saqif in Taif and see whether they would accept his religion and allow him to preach from there, because that was the other significant center of influence that could have been created. And we know the whole story of how he went there and what happened there and how he was rebuffed and repulsed and he was attacked and all kinds of things, including doing him physical injury, you know, because of they sent their people to throw stones at him, and Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu, who was with him. And then we have the subsequent development from there, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam finally came out of Taif and he took refuge in a date palm orchard which belonged to two people of Quraysh. And there he made dua. Now if you see what he said in this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most significant part of that dua, in my view, is how he ended it, where he finished with it. And he said that, "Oh Allah, I will continue to do this work hatta tarda, until you are pleased." Right? He said, "I will continue to do this work until you are pleased." Now think about this. He did not say, "I will do this work until I am successful." That would have been a reasonable thing to say. "I will do this work until my job is completed. I will do this work until my mission is accomplished." All of these could have been normal and reasonable statements. He did not say any of that. He said, "I will do this work until you are pleased. Whether my job is completed or not, whether I am successful or not, until you are pleased." Now see the beauty of this dua. And of course, as I always say, when he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Hatta tarda," his Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu said, "Wala sawfa yutika rabbuka fatarda," tomorrow your Rabb will give you until you are pleased. Yeah. Now this did not happen immediately. I mean, this is a different surah, this is from Surah Al-Duha and so forth, but I am saying, looking at the Quran and relating it, he said, "I will make, ya Rabb, I will work until you are pleased," and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "I will make you pleased." That's one of the fadail of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But the point here is that what he's saying, he says, "I will work until you are pleased." Now see the beauty of the dua, which is that now you are still measuring results. It's not saying you are not measuring. But what is the result you are measuring? You are not measuring your success, the success of your project, the success of your whatever you set out to do, whether your vision is achieved or not. You are saying, my one point measurement is Allah pleased or not? If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased, then I have satisfaction from day one. I don't have to wait until the project is successful to be satisfied. I am satisfied throughout. If I know that what I am doing is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there is no problem. Then I don't have to wait for anything. Alhamdulillah, Allah is pleased. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased, then inshallah, Mustahan, I will be successful. I am successful anyway. By the pleasure of Allah is success. Right? Now, at the end of the day, did that project which you set out to do, was it really accomplished or not? Alhamdulillah, if it is done, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sunnah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts something and then he accomplishes it much later. Take the same seerah itself. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent as a messenger to the whole world, which means that his message was supposed to reach the whole world. But you know and I know that when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Islam was only within Jaziratul Arab, was only within the Hijaz and some part of Najd and so on. That is it. Outside of Arabia, Islam had not gone. Islam, there was no Islam in Iraq or even neighboring, no Islam in Egypt and no Islam in Iran. So, even neighboring countries, Islam had not spread. So, what do we say? Was Rasulullah's mission, was it accomplished or not accomplished? But when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the last interaction with his community, when he parted the curtain from his house, he saw the Sahaba, Rizwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain, all of them praying Salah. That was Salatul Fajr on the Monday. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was the Imam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that, he was so happy. So Alhamdulillah, what is he seeing? He is seeing a group of people in Masjid al-Nabawi, which was a small masjid at that time. That's it. Why was he happy? Not because, within quotes, his mission was successful, now it is over. You know, the whole world has, message of Islam has reached the whole world. No, message of Islam has not reached the whole world. But Alhamdulillah, inshallah, Musta'an, his Rabb is pleased with him, Jalla Jalaluhu. Proof of that is, there are the people who were with him, who are in Salah. Alhamdulillah. So, looking at results and measuring results, my submission to you and my reminder to myself is, that let us look at, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with me or not? How do we know that? Because we are not going to get... In spite of all our friends who, as soon as they finish Salah, they pull out the phone from their pocket because they all have this app called Kabul. So immediately they get a message saying your Salah is accepted. That's why they pull out the phone and look at the phone. Salam phirte phone nikalte jab bas. Kya dekh rahe ho? So the point is that. Anyway, so I'm saying even though we don't have those apps, but the point is, how do I know whether my amal, whether my action is approved, is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Number one, look and see whether it is according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If it is according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inshallah, it is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, look at our own ikhlas. Am I doing this only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or am I doing it to show the world? And if it is only to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah, it is accepted. Number three, make tawbah, which is a just in case. I mean, we need to make it, but I'm saying, in case there is a problem with my niyyah, which more than likely is true, then I make tawbah, I make istighfar, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me from doing whatever wrong I have done, to clean my intention, and we make tawbah. So, these three things, is it according to the sunnah, what is my ikhlas, and let me make tawbah to make sure that this is acceptable before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doing a good deed and making tawbah is a sign of the salihin, is a sign of the Sahaba Ridwanullahi Alayhim Ajmain. They used to do that. I'm not saying they, you know, if they did something wrong, obviously you make tawbah. Why do you make tawbah when you do good? Because it is not incumbent on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our good deeds. Allah is not muhtaj. Allah does not need your good deeds. So when we are doing good deeds, it's like taking something and presenting and saying, please accept this from me, not because you need it. This is what I can bring. This is what I have brought. You don't need this. But please accept it, because if you accept it, it's a matter of satisfaction for me, happiness for me, and a matter of honor for me that you have accepted my gift. And this is the gift that we are giving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is from what He has given us. Tawfiq is His, the quwwat and taqat is His, the resources are His, everything is His. And the very fact that that He even gave us this tawfiq to present this gift to Him is from Himself, Jalla Jalal. Still He accepts it and still He rewards us for it. I mean, what more can we ask for it? So therefore, I remind myself and you, let us focus on this one point agenda. Let us measure this one result, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleased with me in whatever I am doing? And if inshallah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased, then alhamdulillah, hatta tarda, until you are pleased, Ya Rab. So it's not until I am completed, no, until you are pleased. So when Allah is pleased, alhamdulillah, this is... as far as I am concerned, job is over, and I will continue to work to fulfill the whatever the actual project is and to complete it. But I am not going to get frustrated. I will not give up halfway. I will not say, oh my God, nothing is happening. No. Allah is pleased, alhamdulillah, and I will continue to work as long as Allah gives me the life and the ability. Nothing to worry about in that. No frustration, no, you know, griping and moaning and groaning and complaining. No need. Alhamdulillah, Allah is pleased. Allah, this is what we need. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the fortitude and the sabr and the ability to continue to work until He is pleased. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with us and never to be displeased. وصلى الله على نبيه الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.